From Matthew chapter 4. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the lake, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So after Jesus had just heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, after he made his home in Capernaum by the sea, he begins his public ministry. Jesus preaches and he proclaims, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And even though it sounds similar to John the Baptist preaching, as if he's sort of picking up where John left off, it's a very different message. Jesus is proclaiming for people to turn from the life they know, because God's reign is close, because God is close in Jesus. And as our text continues, Jesus recruits his first disciples. With very little encouragement, four men join Jesus in his ministry and on his journey. Two sets of brothers leave behind what they know in order to follow Jesus. And they follow him throughout Galilee. As we look towards our annual meeting, as we as a congregation imagine our future, as we are imagining what changes we might make, imagining what God might be up to here, we are also imagining what it means for us as a church, for us as individuals, to hear the words from Jesus, "Follow me," and wonder at where Jesus might be leading us. For Simon Peter and Andrew, the gospel writer Matthew gives us a different account than we heard last week of how they became disciples. Last week, the gospel writer John told us that Simon and Andrew were near John the Baptist when John proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God, and that's how they began following Jesus. Today, we read Matthew, and we have a very different story. And maybe they do already know who Jesus is, maybe they have been listening to John's preaching, and maybe they just got called away to work. We don't really know. And we often do have different accounts from the Gospels. But what we do know is that Simon and Andrew were going about their jobs, their careers, the way in which they cared for their families. As Matthew tells us, they were fishermen, and they were casting a net into the sea when Jesus saw them from the shore. And Jesus calls out to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And I wonder how much of this text would have made early Christians, some of the first hearers of the gospel, giggle at the wordplay the gospel writer uses. Because really, in the Greek, Matthew calls Simon and Andrew people who fish, and then Jesus tells them that he will make them people who fish for people. It's a bit of wordplay, and also would have sounded totally odd to the two future disciples, and probably to many early Christians. And I think it's probably a really good thing that they were fishermen and not something else. Like, what if they were hunters? "Follow me and I will make you hunt for people." It doesn't have the same ring to it, and it's pretty terrifying. But any number of careers really wouldn't have worked, wouldn't have had the same effect in this wordplay of Jesus calling. And I wonder how much of that is also that we're accustomed to it. The old King James version of this verse is transcribed on many of our minds and hearts. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Maybe it doesn't seem like an odd thing to say to us because we're used to it. But Simon Peter and Andrew would not have been. Would it have sounded odd to them to have this man call out to them from the shore to recruit them from their lives with so few words? I'm always amazed at the response from Simon and Andrew, and I think it's partly because who knows if they really have any idea what Jesus means by telling them they will fish for people. But they don't pause. They don't yell back, "What? What are you talking about?" They don't ask anything. Instead, they immediately stop what they're doing, leave their nets, and follow. I wonder if they even docked the boat or if they just swam to Jesus. And their response is one of faith. A faith that could leave so much behind. By leaving their nets, they left their livelihoods, their careers, their security. They don't know what's going to happen next. They don't even really know yet what it means to follow Jesus or fully who Jesus is and what he'll do. But when they hear Jesus calling, they leave behind what they don't need anymore, and they follow. Like Simon and Andrew, another set of fishing brothers, James and John, are sitting in their boat with their father, working on their nets. And here comes Jesus. Matthew doesn't even give us as much dialogue here as he did with Simon and Andrew. For James and John, all we know is that Jesus called them. We don't know what he said, or if he said much of anything besides maybe those familiar words, "Follow me." But James and John, like Simon, Peter, and Andrew, immediately head towards Jesus. They leave their boat and their father and follow. I wonder if they said goodbye. I wonder if they swam to the shore. I wonder what their father thought about all of this as he watched his two sons leave. But their response, like Simon and Andrew, was one of faith. A faith that could leave so much behind. Like the first pair of brothers, James and John, leave behind their security and their livelihood by leaving their boat. They are leaving their profession, but more than that, they are leaving their father, their family. They are unsure of when they will see him next, and they don't know what's going to happen. Like the first brothers, they don't even really know what it means to follow Jesus or fully who he is and what he'll do. But when they hear Jesus calling, they leave behind what they don't need anymore, and they follow. Because even though the writer Matthew doesn't give us much dialogue, even though we don't really know how much these first disciples know or understand about Jesus, these are the first who respond to the words that Jesus proclaims. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Turn from what you know, because God is close. And these four turn from everything they know. They leave behind so much because of faith, because the call Jesus makes to them, because part of this faith is a trust. It's a trust in God, in God's reign, God's kingdom, in God's closeness. It's the kind of faith, kind of trust that changes us. It turns us from what we know. It calls us to Jesus, to wonder where Jesus might lead us if we but follow. And it might mean that we need to leave things behind. When we follow Jesus as individuals and as a church of individuals, we are called to follow, and in doing so, we might need to leave our nets. Our nets might not be our livelihood, they might not be our families, but they are far more likely nets of a different sort. Our safety nets, our comfort zones. Following Jesus isn't really comfortable. These disciples, upon leaving the sea, had no idea who they would meet or where they would go. And honestly, once they did find out, they were not totally pleased. They were constantly flabbergasted by the people Jesus associated with and invited them to associate with. They didn't want to go to places that were risky. They wanted to stay in the cities and towns they knew were safe. But following Jesus isn't always comfortable. And like disciples, we have to leave behind our safety nets and our comfort zones to truly love our neighbor as Jesus calls us to truly live into the love and mercy we are given and called to share, to truly follow Jesus, it means leaving behind the safety net of only speaking to or talking to or being with the people we know or only the people we like. Leaving behind the comfort zones we create for ourselves and reaching out in new ways to new people, to new places. We have to leave these all behind when we follow Jesus, because for Jesus, there were no safety nets. Jesus was called to the entire world, called to save the entire world from sin and death, from darkness and sorrow, and we get to follow Jesus, to turn from what we know, to turn from the darkness in our lives and the sin that tears at us, to turn towards Jesus, because the kingdom is near, because God is close, and God wants to be close with you. We leave behind what isn't needed anymore, because to follow Jesus means to follow him as he walks to the cross, to his death and to his resurrection, to his victory over the darkness, to his triumph over sin for us, for the forgiveness of our sin, so that you and I could know this closeness with God, this love of God, so that we can imagine our future as individuals, as Christians, as a church, so that together we might ask, what do we need to leave behind in order to truly follow our Lord? So that we can imagine what it means for us as a church, as individuals, to hear the words from Jesus, follow me, and wonder at the amazing things God is already doing around us, and imagine what incredible ways God might turn us and might use us for God's kingdom. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.